Well, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Good Wednesday evening to all of my friends at First Baptist Church. I'm looking forward to being with you May the 17th. We'll be back together. And I know that we're having to be patient with each other. I know that for some of you, you're frustrated even about what we've said about the guidelines we'll use for worship, but please be patient. We're doing this out of respect for one another, and out of concern regarding the health conditions of our people. And we'll, over the days ahead, we'll begin to modify things, and we'll hopefully get back to a schedule that looks somewhat like what used to be our schedule at First Baptist Church. So it's going to require patience as we come back together, and I know you're doing that. Thank you for doing it. And may the Lord bless you these days. Sign up. There are two more worship services available for you to sign up, I believe 3 o'clock for those over 65, and then also one at 5 o'clock for all ages otherwise. And we hope you'll do that. That'll give us five times together on Sunday, May 17th. We're prepared for you to come. We're looking forward to it. And please help us by, along with myself and everyone else, following the guidelines that we've asked you to use as we come back together. It'll be an exciting time. Well, we finish up our series of the good from the bad today, and I want to go back and review quickly these various principles that we've talked about together. First of all, we learned in the good from the bad the key principle, Romans 8:28. We know that God works all things for good to those who love God. We learned also in Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, that when believers set their mind on the Spirit, there's life and peace. We learned that believers also have the obligation to learn how to wait on the Lord, Psalm 27:14, and also to rest in the Lord, Psalm 116:7. We gain new strength. We gain new strength also as we wait on the Lord, and we need new strength every day. And that was Isaiah 40:31. We need endurance, Hebrews 10:36. We must remember that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We're alive, and today is a victorious day because Jesus is alive. We live in contentment in all of life's circumstances, Philippians 4:11-13. We live in boastful hopefulness. We don't live in hopelessness. We live in hopefulness, Romans 5:3-5. We trust God in our faith, while our faith is being tested. That's what we learned in 1 Peter 1. We live by faith and we please God. Only when we live by faith do we please God, Hebrews 11:6. We are protected from the evil one as a result of our faith in God. We raise the shield of faith, Ephesians 6:16. And then we live as God's faithful ones in times of trial and trouble, Psalm 44:18. And we pray and experience peace of mind, Philippians 4. And as we spoke about Sunday, we praise God in all times, in everything. So today we come to talk about accepting the discipline of the Lord at all times. Accepting the discipline of the Lord in all times. I'd like for you to find your copy of God's Word and find your place in the book of Revelation, Revelation 19. The Lord Jesus has been speaking to the seven churches in Asia Minor, real congregations of people with various kinds of needs. And He has spoken to them and commended them, but He's also had words of rebuke and correction for them. And He's come now to speak to the church at Laodicea. And we'll be looking here in just a moment at Revelation 3:19-20 as the Lord finishes these words to this church. Before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, how we thank You for this day that we've had, whatever it's brought in our lives. Lord, we do pray for our gathering together on May 17th. May You protect us all, health-wise, and may You give us a good day together of celebrating together and glorifying the Lord Jesus and honoring Him on the Lord's Day. We look forward to it. We thank you for all the other blessings that you give us in life. And we thank you tonight for the chance to finish the day studying your word. Now bless our time in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the focal truth that we have in Revelation chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, I'll speak about that in just a moment. Let's read God's word together, first of all. Revelation chapter 3, I'm picking up in the middle of the Lord Jesus' words to this church at Laodicea. The Lord says, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me." Heavenly Father, now bless our time in your word. O Holy Spirit of God, be our teacher tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now we come to look at the focal truth that I want us to give time and attention to tonight here in Revelation chapter 3. And the focal truth is this, that believers must accept the discipline of the Lord in all things and at all times. Let me say it again. Believers must accept the discipline of the Lord in all things at all times. So the Lord has been speaking clearly to this church, and I want to begin by asking you, my friends at First Baptist Church, some questions perhaps that you haven't thought about in these days of distraction and dread and fear and inconvenience and frustration. There seems to be several ideas around today, some greatly concerned and truly worried about this virus that cannot seem to be controlled. And it is obvious that around the world, this virus has done damage and brought death and despair to many. There are others who are frustrated because of the responses of the government, why we did things the way we did them and all the rest. And there's inconvenience, and we've been taken out of our regular schedule. I want to ask you some questions. Have you considered how God is using these days of pandemic and loss of control and trouble to discipline you as one of God's people and me and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, maybe that's surprising. You say, you mean these days are meant for me as a believer? Why, yes, friend, every day God has designs for you. Every day the Lord is using to teach you something. These days are very important in your life to shape you to be a man or woman of God. I have another question for you. Have you come to accept these days as days of discipline from the Lord? Have you come to accept these days as God's discipline upon your life and mine as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Surely you're not one of those who just believes in the natural world and all that goes on, and that God has nothing to do with any of these things that go on in our world. Surely you're not one of those who believe that all of these things are just accidental. Surely you believe in the providential work of God in all the circumstances of life. Well, that's what the Word of God teaches. That's what we must learn. Every day is given to us by God for a specific purpose. So what is the Lord saying to the church around the world in these days of global disruption and disaster? What is God saying to First Baptist Church during these days of disruption and global disaster? Is the church listening to what the Lord is saying? The Lord is speaking. The Lord is working and the Lord is speaking through these days. Well, these days come from the Lord to discipline us. That's what I believe. And so remember, we're talking about the church. The church is not a building. The church is made up of those who are the born again of God. Every single individual and those who are born again of God gather in local assemblies, and those churches are identified by where they serve and minister. I'm praying these days for global awakening, that millions of people will come to Christ because of this dreading pandemic and virus, and I am praying for revival in the global church, and I am praying for revival at First Baptist Church. In fact, in the days ahead, as we come back together, and on Wednesday nights, as we're still streaming online, I'm going to be talking to the church and preaching through a series of messages on Revive Us Again. I want to speak to our church about revival, the importance of revival in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the importance of revival at First Baptist Church. Well, today now we come to look at the Lord Jesus' words, these very specific words, to this church at Laodicea. And I want to make four observations for you today about these words. And I want you to follow along with me as we read through them. The first observation that we learned today from these words that we've read in Revelation 3, beginning in verse number 19, is this, that the Lord Jesus speaks to His church. The Lord Jesus speaks to His church. He begins this these words, like He does the others, to the other seven churches, by saying in verse number 14, the angel of the church at Laodicea write, to the angel of the church at Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this. The Lord has spoken to us. The Lord speaks to us. The Lord Jesus speaks to the church by the Holy Spirit who dwells in His people. Over and over we've seen the book of Acts. Many of you study with me on Wednesday nights. And we studied through a section of the book of Acts. We saw, and the Spirit said to the church, and the Spirit said, and the Spirit said, the Holy Spirit of God leads us in these days. We are now saved by the grace of God, and the Holy Spirit of God has come to be inside of us, to indwell us. And the Holy Spirit says, go. We learned in Romans chapter 8, as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the children of God. Look, pay attention, pay attention. The Lord Jesus is speaking to the church by the Holy Spirit of God. The Lord promises that the Holy Spirit will teach us the Word of God. Every time we come together and you hear the Word of God and you read the Word of God and we preach and teach it, the Holy Spirit applies it. But the Lord Himself is speaking to these churches. He describes Himself in many glorious ways in these words. He opens each time, the Lord opens each time He's going to say something to one of these seven churches by describing the glorious characteristics of Himself as risen from the dead and ascended as Lord. In chapter 2, verse 1, He is the Lord who walks among the powerful presence of God. He's the one who walks among the church. He is the eternal one, the eternal living one in chapter 2, verse 8. He is the one who speaks with the sharp sword. He is the Word of God in chapter 2, verse 13. He is the one who is filled with glorious holiness and power in chapter 2, verse 18. He is the one who possesses the Spirit and the light that He gives to the church and to the world. And He is the Holy One with authority in chapter 3, verse 7, who opens doors of salvation and opportunities to be saved. And here in 3:14, He is the Amen, the faithful and the true witness. This is the one who speaks to us. The Lord Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, our glorious King of kings and Lord of lords, the first and the last, the beginning and the ending, the one who holds all things together by His power. He's still speaking to His church. He's speaking to His church through His word, and He's speaking to His church through the works that He is doing in the world and through these circumstances of dread and terror we're in. The second thing we see here is that the Lord Jesus knows the condition of the church. He speaks to the church and He knows the condition of the church. He says in verse, He says here as He's talking about these things with this church in verse 15, I know your deeds. I know your deeds. First Baptist Church, did you know the Lord Jesus Christ knows our deeds? He knows our deeds. He also knows our trials. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. He knows the place where the church ministers. Revelation 2, 13. He knows where we are. He knows the place where we serve at Dixon. He knows the condition of our love and our faith as a church, Revelation 2:19. He knows the spiritual health of the church, Revelation chapter 3, verse number 1. And he knows the heart condition of the church, Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. The Lord says here, I know your deeds. This is Revelation 3, 15 and 16. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. Oh, how serious it is for us today that we understand that as God's people in these days, the Lord Jesus is speaking to his church. Do you hear what he is saying today? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. That's what we learn from the book of Hebrews. Today, if you hear his voice, are you hearing his voice in all of the circumstances that are coming in around your life today? All of them, all the various things that you're experiencing, are you hearing his voice? Do you understand that the Lord knows you and he knows the condition of his collective church, First Baptist Church? He knows our deeds. Finally, we see here this important thing about the discipline of the Lord. The Lord Jesus lovingly disciplines his church. He says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Chapter 3, verse 19. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. The Lord's love for the church causes him to rebuke us and to discipline us. And I believe those things are going on today. What kind of spiritual condition are you in today? Well, the Lord Jesus disciplines his church, and many times he does it through the conditions that he puts his church through. For instance, in chapter 2, verse 5, he says, I will remove your lampstand out of its place if you don't repent. He says in chapter 2, verse 16 of Revelation, that if you don't repent, church, I will make war against you. He says in chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, I will send pestilence and death among you. You see, the Lord Jesus is speaking to our church. The Lord Jesus knows the condition of our church. I'm talking about not only us individually, but collectively. He knows the condition of our church today. What is it that the Lord is saying to First Baptist Church and our spiritual condition? And the Lord Jesus disciplines the church by the conditions he sends their way. As he said, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. The fourth observation is this, that the church must respond and accept the discipline of the Lord. So what does he say here in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 19? He says, therefore, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Let me talk to you about this for a moment. Let me talk to you about the response we have and the need for acceptance of God's discipline in these days of dread and terror. The Lord appeals for the church to be zealous. Are we a zealous people at First Baptist Church? Are we zealous? This word zealous is a word that means to burn. Zealousness is burning. Fervently serving the Lord. Are we burning with a desire? Is our true heart focused? And you know, many times we ask it this way. Are you on fire for God? Are you on fire for the Lord today? Or is the fire just about out in your life? Are you coming out of these days of dread exhausted and because of your own fear and dread, not your faith in God, you're weak and you're barely able to make it? Or are you feeling zealous for God? You see, it's important for us to have a heart on fire for God. Is your heart on fire for God? Are you aflame for God? Are you living in zealousness? Are you hot in pursuit of God? And are you hot in your pursuit to do what God has called you to do? Or have you cooled off? You're like the Laodicean church. Maybe not cold, but you're not hot. You're just lukewarm. You're not cold, you're not hot, you're lukewarm. I ask you, First Baptist Church, are you zealous for the Lord? Are you hot for doing the things that God has called us to do? Well, Paul says, the Lord gave himself to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. Titus 2:14. Let me read it again. Titus 2:14. The Lord gave himself to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people of his own possession, zealous of good works. You see, Christian zeal is fire from God that allows us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to do the works he's called us to do to glorify God. How I am praying that God will set First Baptist Church on fire and that we will be zealous ones. And the Lord also calls us to repent. Repenting is a lifelong experience in the Christian life. You don't just repent to get saved. You continue to repent and confess your sin so that you might be faithful to God and do what he calls you to do. So we must turn from our sinfulness and change our mind. We were talking about that before we were interrupted in these days. Changing our mind is important for us to do. And so during these days of trial that press in upon your mind, are you walking with God? You know, I was thinking about this today. It's going to be a sad thing in my life. It's going to be a sad thing in your life if we return to our life routines and we're still holding the same unforgiveness in our hearts toward others. That'll be a sad thing, won't it? If we return to our routines and we're still obsessed with lustful possessions and passions and desires and we long for things and we're coveting, it'll be sad if we're still conforming to the world's demands and values and there's really been no change. The only change has been we haven't seen each other, but we still carry in our heart all of these secret sins. What a sad thing that will be, that we've not repented of our sins and come back to the Lord. You see, you must accept the discipline of the Lord. If it's not through this, what will it take, First Baptist Church? We must turn from our sin, be zealous for God, and come back to life. You see, these days are for the church. These days are for the church. Now I have just several things I'd like for you to talk about. That's the observations from the text. Well, what are some things I'd like for you to remember? Now I'm changing over. I just want to talk to you a minute about some of these things. And then we'll come to talk about some things we should do as we move ahead in learning how to accept the discipline of the Lord. Well, I want to remind you, first of all, that it is in love and faithfulness that the Lord brings trials of discipline to his people. What does he say here? He says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. The Lord loves you enough that he sends discipline into your life through circumstances, through people, through situations that come. Everything that's happening in your life and mine is planned by God and designed for our own purposes. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. So today, remember that the one behind these circumstances does them because he loves us and he wants us to be more like Christ and he sees in us the things that need to change. Secondly, times of trouble are used to wake up the church. It's been this way all the way through. Wake up the church. Wake up, church. Wake up, First Baptist Church. Wake up, wake up. Don't spend all your time criticizing government leaders and other leaders for what they did and how they didn't do what they did. What is the Lord trying to say to you? Are you awake? Wake up. What is it God's trying to say to you about your own life and your condition and your walk with God? A third thing is trials from God. Are God speaking to the church by his authority and his power? He's speaking to us today. Are you listening to what he has to say to us through these trials? And several things about these seasons that come in our life. The first is this, that seasons of suffering come to the church sometimes because of the sinfulness of the church, and we must repent. Sometimes these seasons come because, sometimes they come because we need to confess our sin. There are things in our lives as a group of believers at First Baptist Church that need to change, that needed to change for a long time. Will these circumstances bring us to repentance and a change in the way we live and confessing our sinfulness as a church? The other thing is that seasons of suffering come to the church sometimes to purify and strengthen us. You see, all of this is happening to us so that we might confess our sin and also to purify us and to make us more like the Lord Jesus. What did he say? Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. That's what the Lord is actively doing in our lives in these days. Don't sit back and think, well, God's on pause waiting for this virus to pass. What kind of thinking is that? God is seeking still to say some things to you, my friend, as you are trying to figure out in your own frustration about the inconvenience. Why are you so frustrated? Because you have a set of plans you want to do, but perhaps God is saying to you, I don't think I want you to do that. I don't think I want you to be with those people like you used to be. I don't think I want you to do those things you used to do. I'm going to bring these inconveniences into your life as a good from the bad so that you could change your ways. Well, there's something else we should think about, and it's this carelessness. That's what I'm talking about here, and neglect to hear the Lord's word in trials results in harder discipline from the Lord. I want to hear the Lord. You know what happened to me as a child? It's happened to you. When I didn't listen to what my father had to say, sometimes I received even stricter discipline because I did not receive and accept the discipline that he was providing me. You see, hearing the Lord in trials helps us to see God's work in our trouble. Hearing the Lord in trials helps us see God's work in the trouble. God's people are saved, my friend, from spiritual decline when they hear God in times of trial. I want to come back. I want to be on fire for God. Don't you? Some of you are old like me. Do you remember when you first came to know the Lord, how on fire you were for God? You couldn't wait to read the word. You couldn't wait to be with God's people. You couldn't wait to have time to pray. You couldn't wait to tell others about Jesus. You were on fire. Is it almost gone out? Is the life almost gone in your life? You're crawling out of your home, out of these times, just barely alive. Wake up, come back to life. The Lord Jesus says to his church, to you and to me, for to those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline. Therefore, be zealous. Be zealous. Live in the fire of God and repent. Well, for daily use, just a couple of short things I would give you. First of all, do you have spiritual ears to hear what the Lord is saying to you in these days of pandemic? Look, you're spending all your time sending people jokes and doing this and talking about that and making light of it, just waiting for it in such a nonchalant way. Have you taken seriously anything that's happened over these weeks? I've been preaching on the good from the bad on Sundays and Wednesdays. I have preached 16 times on this topic. 16 times. Week after week we've stayed at home. Have you heard anything from the Lord during these days? Or have you been talking too much? You've not been listening, you've been talking. Or texting, or emailing, or on the phone. What is it you've been doing these days? Will First Baptist Church, as a church, when we gather together, will we be any different? Some of you are saying, oh, that'll be just like it's always been, but it will be different. Will you be a part of the difference in First Baptist Church? That we would be a group of people on fire for God? We're going to go back to our own ways of some of the things we did with our relationships with each other were rather silly. Will there be a forgiveness in our hearts for others? Will we do what we're supposed to do to trust God? Will First Baptist Church hear what the Lord is saying to us in these days of pandemic? And are you zealous for God today? Have you repented in these days of trial? Here's what the Lord promises. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. The Lord is knocking. He's talking to you, my believer. He's knocking. He's knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, First Baptist Church. The Lord knocking at the door of First Baptist Church. If anyone hears my voice, are you listening? Are you listening? The Lord, through these circumstances, is knocking at the door. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, accepts the discipline and accepts the Lord's work in our lives, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. That's the promise of the Lord Jesus. Fellowship with him as we come back and repent of our sins and be zealous. May the Lord help us as a church to do that. Heavenly Father, how I pray that you might help us accept the discipline of God in our lives. Forgive us when we're careless. Forgive us when we're negligent. Forgive us when we're deaf and we will not hear. Forgive us when we're stubborn. How I pray tonight, Lord, that First Baptist Church of Dixon will come alive and glorify God in ways we cannot imagine in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you have a spiritual need, we invite you to get a hold of us, call us, email us. We're still in somewhat of a limited time of being able to connect with people. We're working toward being back to being with each other all the time. But you let us know if there's something you need. My prayer for you tonight is that the Lord Jesus will speak to your heart. And remember, the Lord says, the ones I love, I reprove and I discipline. Therefore, be zealous, my friends. Be hot on fire for God and repent of your sins so that God might do his greatest work in your life in the days ahead. May the Lord bless you, and I'll see you soon.